In September 2016, Malcolm Turnbull introduced the same-sex marriage plebiscite bill into the House of Representatives. Plebiscites do not have any legal force in Australia. Changing the 1961 Marriage Act was never the point for those demanding a plebiscite. As recently as September 20, Joy FM in Melbourne received a bomb threat, which resulted in the station being evacuated and a police investigation. I'm wondering what allies can do in support. Today I'm speaking with Elvira Earthstar, mum, sister, wife, in all but the so-called law, and daughter. I started by asking her what her child's home life looks like.
I am a midwife and my partner Jan is a social worker. We live in a small country town in Victoria. Jan gave birth 4 years ago to our lovely daughter, Sam, and she goes to childcare a couple of days a week and we both work part-time so that we can spend time at home with her and support each other's careers. And I'm currently 9 months pregnant with our second baby who will be coming sometime in the next 3 weeks.
What was the reaction from, say, your family, extended family and friends when you and Jan originally got together?
From my friends, it was delight because Jan is lovely. My family and extended family were a little bit surprised because the people who I'd kind of brought home for Christmas before or introduced around to the family had all been men, so they didn't have it on their radar that a woman might turn up as my partner. But after a couple of double takes, everyone was equally delighted and Jan has been very much welcomed into our family, which has been really important because Jan was born in the USA and has no family in Australia.
And have you travelled to the US to meet Jan's family at all?
Yes, I have. We went to the US nearly 5 years ago now to her brother's wedding, and her father comes out once a year to spend time with us, and her mother's been out a couple of times as well since Sam has been born. So we do have quite a good relationship with Jan's family, and a lot of that has actually changed since we've had a baby, so we Skype really regularly with both of her parents.
So what has been the reaction towards Sam having two mums from people outside your family?
You know, we both meet a lot of people in our respective jobs, and we both thought that we might have to maybe deal with a little bit of questioning or maybe some rude comments, but there has literally been nothing in terms of negativity. Having our daughter in childcare, we sort of went in with a list of questions and all of those were answered very clearly and competently and, you know, with kind of a grin and, you know, she's not the first and she won't be the last. Even in our small country town, we've had quite a lot of positive comments in that women and men are socialised quite differently when it comes to child rearing. And so for a lot of our women friends who are going through early motherhood, they are very supportive and very happy to see a family where we both take time out from our careers to raise children, because in heterosexual couples, 90% of families are still having men working full time. So we've had a lot of people express admiration for the way that we've been able to do it.
You have one child. You've got another on the way. Congratulations. That's
right.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
And Jan was pregnant with your first and you're pregnant with your second. How did that decision kind of come about and manifest itself?
There's quite a few things that came into it. We both wanted to have the experience of pregnancy and birth and spending time at home with a young baby, both sort of as a personal journey, but also in terms of the power balance in our relationship. We see very commonly that many people these days have very, very equal relationships in straight couples until babies come along, and then the massive shift that comes about in terms of who's at home and who's bringing in money from an employer and who does what kind of work and what gets counted and valued by society leads to big power imbalances in relationships. So we were sort of quite aware that if we could both do it, then that should even itself out over time and we would end up being more equal in our confidence as parents and in our support of each other.
Bit of a personal question here. So how exactly did you both become pregnant?
Yeah, so we've had a couple of different journeys with that. We decided on a known donor. So we approached a friend who's actually the partner of a very good friend of mine, and he had previously donated to another queer couple. For Jan, it was a very simple process, and we just did home insemination. It really involved some careful timing and a small cup and a syringe and two separate rooms and a bit of giggling, and within a few months, Jan was pregnant. So for me, it was quite a bit more difficult. We tried the same approach and I did not fall pregnant for a while and ended up having fertility investigations and was diagnosed with endometriosis, which is quite a difficult disease in that the external symptoms don't necessarily match the severity of the disease inside. So it's when the lining of the womb is growing elsewhere in the body. So I'd had some symptoms of it, but didn't think it was that severe. But when it was investigated properly, it was found to be quite severe. So I needed to go and have IVF, and that was quite challenging and costly, but it was effective after a couple of cycles, which we've been very grateful for. And here we are.
You're listening to 4ZZZ's Brisbane Line. This is Lucy Thorne's Not Grown Ups from her album Botticelli Blue Eyes.
I remember us living inside that house, and I remember us walking the long way round to school, and in the winter our gloves would be wet through with frost. And I remember wanting to be just like you. And concerts. We had a secret club with code names. I was meat pie and you were powder puff. We were gregarious and dramatic. I was the clumsy, cuddly little sister, and we had a whole world in backyard. And if I scrambled to the treetops, a long way off the ground, you'd say, please be careful, and I'd say, it's a long way down. Now you're getting married. Gotta go and get ourselves a couple of fancy frocks. And you ask if I'll be your best woman. I say, of course, it'll be like a giant game of dress-ups. Let's grow in all directions as we learn and as we love. We're no longer children, it doesn't mean we have to be grown ups. I have a picture of you in your house with mud bricks and veggies and children and games and love and gumboots and chooks. Hanging out to visit, and you'll say, hey, look who's here. It's your laughing, loving, crazy, singing aunt. Let's grow in all directions as we learn and as we love. Just because we're no longer children doesn't mean we have to be grown up. When they scramble to the treetops, a long way off the ground, you'll be there to say, have fun, but please be careful. I'll say, hey mum, look where I am. It's a long way down, it's a long way down, it's a long way.
Today we're speaking with Elvira Erdstar about how allies can help support our LGBTIQ+ friends and family achieve marriage equality. Do you think of your donor's other children as brothers and sisters or cousins for your kids? Do they have any relationship or none?
So he has very kindly donated to two families, ourselves and another queer couple, and also has his own child. So we would say we've got my side of the family, Jan's side of the family and the Rainbow family. And it is very much an extended family relationship. The kids all get along really well. And we talk about them as being rainbow cousins because certainly socially they're not being raised together or raised by the same parents. And it might be a few months between seeing each other. You know, there's no limits to how big your family can be. So we've just claimed an extra branch than what most people get.
And with such a wonderfully large, broad rainbow family, how are you and your family, I guess, making sense of the political guff around marriage equality, plebiscites, safe schools?
Oh, look, it drives me nuts. The fact that the plebiscite is being debated at all is ridiculous. It should be a vote in Parliament that should have happened under the Gillard government a long time ago. It's very frustrating that it hasn't happened under any of the governments we've had in the last 15 years. But what I find particularly upsetting about the debate that's happening at the moment is that unrelated issues are being brought into it. The issue of whether I can marry my partner or not has zero impact on whether or not we're having children. Our family structure is really clearly legally recognised. So bringing children into the debate and talking about whether our family structure is valid is very rude. And for the Christian right to keep pounding on about it is awful.
If marriage equality for all is achieved, would you marry?
We may end up doing it. Certainly our commitment to each other is very strong and we intend to remain partners for life, and all of the reasons that people usually get married are very much there in our relationship. But then there's kind of an underlying question, which is about whether the state gets to decide about our relationship or what difference that would make if the government comes in and gives the certificate. So we don't quite know.
Finally, for those of us who wish to be allies but aren't really sure how to go about doing that, what are your thoughts on what is helpful when people like me are supporting wonderful rainbow families like yours?
Thanks for the question. Yeah, it is an important thing to think about. One of the things I think is most important is actually for the broader community to take this on. And I think that has happened quite a bit. But just for that to continue so that the onus of activism and making the arguments don't fall exclusively onto people who are queer. I think the biggest concern that people are having is about the impact on children and teenagers in particular, because people who are further into their adulthood have often been through some of this and feel a little bit more comfortable to argue our own points. But children don't decide what families they get born into or what their sexuality is. We don't want, you know, the 3 or 4 kids in a year level at school who either are from a queer family or are starting to think about that they themselves might be queer. They shouldn't be the only ones who have to make the argument. They should be backed up by the rest of their school. Anyone who is a parent, I would say, needs to, particularly parents who are not in rainbow families, need to spend time talking with their children about different family structures, and that can start really from, you know, the ages of 1 and 2. There's different picture books around that have different kinds of families demonstrated within them, all the way through to quite interesting documentaries about Gaby Baby that can be watched as a family. For people who are wanting to be allies, be visually allies. So whether that's wearing a sticker, putting something on your car, flying a rainbow flag out the front of your house, asking your local cafe to put up a little rainbow sticker, just to make sure that every community throughout Australia has really visible signs of support. I think we all know what the result of a plebiscite is going to be, but it'd be good if it wasn't a painful process for families like ours.
That was Elvira Earthstar, mum, daughter, wife in All But the Law, and sister. For more information about Rainbow Families, go to We Have Rainbow Families or simply Rainbow Families on Facebook, Rainbow Families Queensland at www.rainbowfamiliesqld.org, and don't forget Queer Radio on 4ZZZ 9 till 10pm Wednesday nights. You're listening to Brisbane Line here on 4ZZZ FM 102.1.